is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 24th of March, 2024. Now on with the show.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30am this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Hi Hams, Bunbury Radio Club would like to invite you to our next Fox Hunt event to be held in the Greater Bunbury area on Saturday the 13th of April. We will meet up at Hay Park, North End, for a 10 a.m. kick-off. There will be two sessions. The first at 10 a.m. and the second at 1 p.m. Each session will have two foxes deployed. One close to the start point for some pedestrian mobile and a second further out. There is no cost to participate. BYORDF gear. There are shops and takeaway food options nearby. For further information, check the event notice on our website https://bunburyradioclub.com/2024/02/24/the-great-bunbury-fox-hunt-2024/closing-. Or email vk6brc@gmail.com. We hope to see you all there. De VK6DEV, Phil President, Bunbury Radio Club Inc.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? Today, I thought I'd talk about contesting again. I did talk about this early last year, but I didn't go into much detail on individual contests, as not all contests are constructed the same. The big worldwide DX contests, like the CQ Worldwide and the CQWPX, and many of the more regional DX contests, like the Oceania DX contests, each have thousands and even tens of thousands of participants. And it's all about contacting as many different stations on as many different DXCC entities on as many contest-compatible bands, that is, non-WAC bands. Being competitive is not just a matter of 2 kilowatts and stacked Yagis on Cocos-Keeling Islands. There are generally many categories that allow someone with 100 watts or even less and a wire antenna to be competitive against others with similar setups. Single bands are normally a category as well, so if you have a good monoband antenna on, you may find yourself competing against some of the bigger boys on an even platform. My best result was a 10-meter only entrance for the CQ Worldwide. Beauty of doing that on 10 meters was that there was no graveyard shift for me. The Remembered State contest, though, is certainly one of my favourite contests. It's in mid-August, third Saturday in August every year, and it would have to be the friendliest contest I've ever participated in. This is a contest where many hams participate who participate in no other contest but the RD. It has categories including single and multiple operator categories. Single categories also include subcategories on phone, CW, mixed, QRP versions of the same. There's also categories for teams, where you operate as a single op station, but as part of a group of three friends, where you can compete against other teams as well. These categories are also measured with each state as well as nationally. So even the simplest station can be competitive in a category that their station is capable of operating. Another unique category of the RD is a state competition. This is simply the combined score of each station in a given state, divided by the amount of licensed operators in that state. You may or may not know that WA was the most proliferant winner of the state comp for many years. This changed to Tasmania a few years back. I've heard plenty of comments bandied around that the rules are skewed towards only East Coast stations. You may or may not know that a West Coast station still holds the record for the highest score in the RD, and that this was only a few years back. Admittedly, this was one of the better stations around, but there are a few other similar stations in WA as well as on t'other side that could have given them a run. My view on how to be successful in the RD in the open categories is stay on air for the whole contest. If you knock off late evening and have a snooze and start again at 5 or 6am, you won't be competitive, as being between midnight and 6am local time, there are double points. The contest is laid back enough that you can snatch an hour of sleep here and there, and for us here in the West, it does finish at 11, so you can catch up on sleep on a Sunday arvo. If you're on a single op station, you need a strategy to make it through the whole 24 hours. Some tips: avoid alcohol. Avoid caffeine, or at least minimise it to when you really need it at 3am. Eat food that's easy to digest. Light sandwiches are a good choice. Plenty of water is also good. Do give it a break every now and again. Grab that dusty old Morse key and give it a shot. The RD is a very friendly contest, but even more friendly on CW. There's some very good operators who can do 40 plus words a minute who will happily slow down to 10 or 15 words per minute, even if it is only just to get your call sign in their log. On top of that, CW contacts are double points, so worth the effort. Even if your CW is a bit rough around the edges, like mine, you can take a minute or two to process a contact and still be competitive. Just don't try that in the CQ worldwide. Rig up an antenna on 160 metres if you can find the room. 160 metres is double points, as is CW, as is operation between midnight and 6am, bringing every 160 metre CW contact after midnight to 6 points per contact. 23-7 is also double points, so if you have something on 23-7, it's worth firing it up. With the advent of the IC9700 and the trusty old Kenwood TS2000, there are surprisingly large cohort in Perth of 23-centimetre aficionados. Perth in particular has a pretty enthusiastic group of contestants on 6 metres, 2 metres, 70 sems and 23 sems. There are group frequencies we all hang out on that easily allow you to net 20 or 30 contacts on each of these bands every 3 hours. Similarly, there are frequencies on each of the HF bands that are also like call frequencies. Just don't hop on those frequencies unless you're happy to share it. Obviously, it's good to have 400 watts through Yagis on all bands from 23 sems to 80 metres, but for most of us, that's just a dream. You do, though, need to make sure that you're maximising the capability of your station. A good look through your whole station to make sure you have no faulty connectors, etc. Spend a bit of time to make sure your antennas are all resonant so you're not wasting power in both directions on an ATU. Be friendly. This is the ultimate friendly contest. You don't need to make 6 contacts a minute to be competitive. This is a contest that rewards a friendly demeanour. Particularly in the middle of the night, spend a minute to have a chat. It's more fun than calling CQ and no one answering. Don't believe the myth that the contest is skewed to the East Coast. Where we have an advantage is that our skip zone, whilst facing east, is centred on Alice Springs, but someone in Sydney's skip zone is smack bang in the middle of the most populated states in the country. We have plenty of operators participating on VHF and UHF, which could easily be 30% of your tally. Whilst the RD is not a field day style contest, camping out of town on a hilltop somewhere with enough trees around to support, say, a 3 to 5 element wire Yagi on 40 metres and even a 2 or 3 element Yagi on 80 metres facing towards southeast Australia puts you in the big league, even if you're running barefoot. If you choose that site wisely, so you're still overlooking Perth, you can take advantage of the UHF-VHF set, plus a quiet enough noise floor and HF to work any modest station on t'other side, and enough gain to be heard by said station. Well, I think it's about time that WA took back its state trophy, eh? This trophy is not won by the bigger states generally, but it does take a strong community spirit, something we have droves of here in the Wild West. Why not make the RD your first contest and give it a crack, even if it is only aimed at bolstering our score for the state trophy? Thanks for listening. This is Steve, VK6SJ, and you're listening to News West.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out, when they can, over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Good morning, campers. The month of May is not far away, and that means it's time to mark on the calendar the third annual Southern Electronics Group Man Up Hamcampton weekend of the May 17th to 19th. If you haven't been before, Hamcampton is a casual weekend getaway for hams and other registered HF users like AusTravelNet and VKS737 and their significant others to drag the swag, the van or the tent down to Man Up Sports Ground for a weekend of radio and social activity. There's plenty of room to camp. There's some big trees to throw a line over, hot showers, a camp kitchen, terrific fire pit to sit around after dark, and of course, time to sit and chat over the weekend with like-minded radio enthusiasts. Food and drinking water is BYO. The kitchen and amenities are powered, but there's no power available for campsites. It's been known to rain, fog, and then bright sunshine, often on the same day, so you need to come prepared. Camping is the usual low price of $10 per person per night. There'll be a square card reader on the weekend available and SEG can take online payments. Boyer Brook has a great car museum and other attractions if you want to visit town 15 minutes away while you're here. We maintain a Hamcampton Facebook page for up-to-date information and you can contact me at VK6EK, that's Victor Kilo Sierra India X-Ray Echo Kilo @gmail.com. We hope to see you there. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Hi, it's Clinton, VK6SERC. People could please send in helplines articles to me by 5 p.m. Wednesday. It'll help me to put together the NewsWest segment on a Thursday morning. Our email address is newswest@vk6.net. That email address again is newswest@vk6.net. Thank you.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Whenever I'm out in the bush in the process of erecting some or other wire contraption, antenna, I cannot help but think of the iconic Australian rock band Skyhooks, not for their glam rock-inspired music, nor for their pure mathematics and computer science degree-holding guitarist, but for their name. In antenna erection, a skyhook is called for when you point at a spot in the sky and will into being an attachment point for the wire antenna in your hand. It's always in the perfect spot, holds any weight, and of course it's made from unobtainium. Absent a skyhook, there are other ways of hoisting an antenna into the air. A recent discussion revealed that in some places, catapults and trebuchets are frowned upon, if not outright illegal. Can't imagine why. Depending on their size, they may be difficult to transport. In the same vein, antenna launchers, lightly camouflaged spud guns, are essentially a gas-pressured tube, causing a projectile to be launched by releasing a valve. Those too are pretty restricted, and for good reason. Fortunately, there are plenty of other ways of getting things to be in the right place. Let's explore. One option is to bring along a pole, made from whatever is at hand. A multi-element fiberglass pole made by Spiderbeam, mine is 12 meters long, has always worked for me, though I will confess that I have managed to break one. It did take a 135-degree bend in the tip to achieve that. I'll hasten to add I didn't set out to do that. Previously, it had easily sustained 90-degree abuse in heavy wind. I purchased a new one. I've used it for years. It's not cheap, but it works. Alternatives, much less strong, are using fishing rods or, much less flexible, aluminium tubes, pool cleaning extension poles, even painter's poles, and, at a pinch, lengths of wood screwed together, or, if you're a scout, logs lashed into some contraption. Then there's using the nearby landscape. Getting a wire into a tree is an activity that's fun for young and old. Not so much for the person attempting it. Often this starts with throwing things at the tree. You might find a spanner tied to a rope and whirl it around, letting go at just the right moment to get it to where you're going. This is not a safe activity and not recommended away from emergency medical assistance. You've been warned. This graduates to using things like a monkey's fist knot. I was given a brightly coloured one, lovingly handcrafted by Alan, Victor Kilo 6 Papa Whiskey Delta. It's reminiscent of a Sea Scout woggle knot. Truth be told, it's too beautiful to use, or rather, risk losing. Tie it to a line and whirl and throw. Then there's the arborist throw bag, same deal. Each of these whirling activities are fraught, mainly because you need to strike a balance between the strength of the line, strong enough to be chucked, thrown, but weak enough so that you can break it if it gets caught. And believe me, it will. There's the option of co-opting your dog's ball launcher. Tie a rope to the ball and hurl. Success depends on how quick your dog is in catching low-flying tennis balls. The last time I went fishing was in 2003, when I used a string and a safety pin to catch an admittedly tiny fish at Harry's Hole, using a tiny piece of bread, took all of 5 minutes. That said, I have a new fishing rod. Well, it was new when I purchased it, but now it's a couple of years old. It was the absolute cheapest one I could find. I also bought a box of sinkers. Purchased on the advice of Bob, Victor Kilo 6, Papa Oscar Papa, I've used that rod many times to launch a sinker at a nearby tree, and used it to pull through some line and then an antenna. It's still a balance between using a fishing line that's strong enough to handle the weight of a sinker and weak enough to break when you want to. The sinker needs to be just the right weight, too. Too light and you'll launch it at the right branch where it'll stay for the rest of the life of the tree. Too heavy and it will end up somewhere in the bush, never to be found. Grey sinkers tend to vanish in the grass, so if you can find it, look for something nice and bright. Fluorescent is best. In a pinch, you can use a couple of sinkers, like when you've run out, but in my experience, they tend to wrap themselves around a branch. Of course, you could also just climb into a tree, or hire a cherry picker, but I'm not that flexible, either in my joints or wallet, so those options don't do it for me. If you have a friendly arborist nearby, there's no shame in paying them to attach a pulley to the required branch in your backyard. Just make sure that the line you use on the pulley cannot escape the groove and get jammed between the wheel and the cheek. Don't ask me how I know. So, what ways do you use to summon a skyhook, and does it include a Siberian jukebox? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube. Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.